Good morning and welcome to Piedmont United Methodist Church on this first Sunday in Lent. That we started Lent on Wednesday and we had a very good Ash Wednesday service that we had together. And as we continue with our Lent journey towards Easter, we use this time for self-examination, repentance through prayer, fasting, meditation of the Word, and also fellowshipping and caring for each other. And also this is a time where we reflect on our lives to renounce those evil forces like injustice or hatred, social and economic and racial or geographic discrimination, things like that. We renounce those things and we reject our bad habits, whatever we reflect on our lives, and leave out those things like violence and pride and grudge and addictions, of those things that we want to leave out, and also repent of our sins. So if you can remember three R's: renounce, reject, and repent during this Lent time. And meditate on the Word more and pray together and pray personally as much as we can during these days of Lent. The announcements are listed on the back of the bulletin on the second page. If you can turn with me, the Georgia Mountain Food Bank is one of the ministries that we have been supporting as a church. Continue to do that with our donations and also in kind or cash. The Joy in the Journey book is available for sale for $10. Now we'll be going to the Piedmont Church mission work that we'll be supporting around the world. And please use that address listed on the screen for your mailings. And if you know anyone with needs for paying their groceries or utilities, things like that, primary needs because of the pandemic, please let us know by calling that number or texting me. And we will restart our birthday and anniversary luncheon next Sunday. And we'll do the same thing as we did in December. We will do the social distancing and wear mask, and the regular stuff will be provided as we usually do, right? People bring side dishes, right? Okay. The attendance and collections are listed at the bottom of the bulletin for your prayer and continued participation. Thank you for all the ways that you are taking part in the services of this church and the work of the Lord in many different ways. Businesses overall. As we start gathering back together in church with the continued vaccination, hopefully we will get more members coming back to church. That is something that we also need to pray about. Are there any other announcements or anything that anybody wants to add? If not, let us continue to worship together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn, hymn number 77 in the blue book, also on the screen, How Great Thou Art. Someone there, consider all.
Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. And sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. That God is Son of Spirit, send it from my scarce and faith that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, be glad and die to take away my sin. My soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. And sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art.
Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for this beautiful Sunday that you have given us together to come together in this place and also online to worship you and praise you. We thank you for all the blessings that you shower upon in our lives. Thank you for the gift of life, that we could see another day in this world is a gift from you. We thank you for everything that you give us, the good health and strength in our bodies, the healing that we receive from you. All the material and spiritual blessings that you shower upon us, Lord, in spite of our unfaithfulness, you have been faithful to us, O God. As we start our Lenten season this time, Lord, we pray that you will grant us the grace to grow in the meaning of Lent, that we may reflect that love of God to others and to renew our baptismal covenants during this time, to renounce and reject and repent the things that we need to reject and repent these days, Lord, that we can come back to a rededicated life at the end of this Lent season. Help us, Lord, to meditate, you know, on your word more and to pray for each other and for the world during this Lent season. You are our Lord and Savior. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, you gave us the salvation of eternal life so that we can, whoever calls upon your name will be saved. Gracious Lord, give us the wisdom to recognize what needs to be eliminated in our lives, from our lives, so that it will strengthen us and also the strength of the church, strengthen the body of Christ, the church in this world. Bless us together, O Lord, as we gather together to worship you. In our songs, in our praises, in our prayers, and also the meditation of the word, everything that we do here bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. Touch each and every one of us, Lord, and fill our hearts according to our needs and our desires as we go from this place to be more effective and more powerful for you and for a blessing to be in this world in the days to come. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So greeting time now that we can stand up and greet each other in Christian love, and also online we can say hi to each other. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Martha. Good morning, Chuck and Mickey. Good morning, Jan and Harry. You guys can hear us? Good morning,
Jean. I can hear you, yes.
Jean, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, Miss Lou and James. James is on a different phone today, you see. And Kathy and Bob, are you on? Looks like they are.
They are.
I can see you. Good morning, everyone here too. Thanks for joining us here to worship together. The choir will be singing an anthem now. Please remain seated. Lord, I lift your name on high. Please join. It will be on the screen as well.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Responsive reading is taken from Psalm 31 verses 1 through 8. Please stand if you are able. You can follow that on the screen.
In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me.
Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me.
You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me.
Take me out of the net which is hidden for me, for you are my refuge.
Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God.
I hate those who pray in the dark to vain idols, but I trust in the Lord.
I will rejoice and be glad in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction and have taken heed of my adversities.
You have not delivered me into the hand of my enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place.
This is the word of God for people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. This is our prayer time now as a church family. We come before God and also share our prayers of blessings together to praise God for all the continued blessings that God showers upon us. But also we share as a family our prayers of concerns and burdens. Share with God and also share with each other so that we can lift each other up. And at this time, let us take this moment to share our prayers of praise and concerns. The regular prayer items are listed at the back of the bulletin. Please note these items and use this as a regular prayer request in your personal prayers every day. These items and people listed there. Are there any special items to call out? Jack, as he's recovering with his dialysis and also his continued progress, is he doing better?
He's doing better. He did pretty good this week.
Okay. Thanks be to God for that. And Martha, continue to pray for Martha as well. She's online with us today. Yeah, pray for people of Texas. They don't have power for several days now. Let us pray for that and for the rescue, the different works that they're doing to get out of this mess that they have there. Any news from Gene? Anyone heard from Gene?
I spoke to him and he said he's doing well.
Okay. Thanks be to God for that.
He still wants to, hoping that he can get back up here.
Okay, hopefully. I'm glad that Carol was able to make it here today after several weeks of her congestions and problems, and thanks be to God for that. Let us continue to pray for the Blankenship family at the death of Larry. We talked to Jean last week and she is feeling much better, but she still has her moments, so please pray for her. After what, 58 years of marriage, it is very hard for her. So please keep her in our prayers and the whole family.
Tomorrow, let me think.
I'll confer that.
I'm not sure, but I think,
yeah,
tomorrow, right?
Yes.
If I looked correctly, how many years?
I don't pay it.
Thanks, Miss Linda. Congratulations and God bless you in the new year.
Thank you.
Are there any special call-outs here or anybody online? Gene, how is Nick doing? I have been hurt lately.
He's still recovering. It's going to be a long road for him because of his injuries in his military service.
Okay.
but he's at home. Where actually he's with his parents living with his parents right now in Atlanta, so he's got somebody with him 24/7, but he's recovering a little more every day. It's just a long, slow process.
How is his heart functioning?
His heart function is doing well.
Okay.
Last time I heard, but he has a lifetime of taking drugs to make sure that his body doesn't reject a new heart, things like that.
Okay, all right.
That'll be the rest.
Yeah, he had a heart transplant and a lot of other issues. Let us keep him in our prayers and let him know that we are praying for him, Jim.
He knows.
Okay.
Pastor, I would ask to continue prayer for the Shell family because they lost another family member this week.
Oh, wow. Is COVID?
Yes.
Where are they, Mississippi?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That area is still struggling with COVID. Let us keep them in our prayers. If there are no other call-outs or special items, let us continue to pray for our country as a whole. With the new administration, let us pray that they will make the right decisions for, and God give them the wisdom to make the right decisions. And also, let us pray for the frontline workers, this healthcare industries and all the service industries during this pandemic, that God will keep them safe and be with them as they serve us on a regular basis. Let us pray for our police, military, our fire, all those people who are supporting us behind the scenes, putting their lives at risk every day. Let us be thankful for their services and also keep them in our prayers. Let us go to God in prayer together and spend a few moments in our silent prayers, and then I will close with a summarized prayer. The scripture says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up us for all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this time to come together and share our prayers of blessings, and thank you for that. And also, we thank you for this time you have given us to share our burdens and concerns, trusting in your promise that you will answer our prayers according to your time and according to your will. We thank you for always there listening to our prayers and our desires every time, regardless of where we are. We thank you for your presence in our lives, and we look up to you for our needs, Lord. You are the source of all good things, and you desire only good for us, Lord. We come before you as your people. Some of us are broken in our bodies, and some of us are broken in our souls and in our spirit. But you are the source of all true healing, and you are the one who can make us whole. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. When we are lonely, Lord, you are our friend. When we go through life's sorrows and loss, and you give us peace, the source of true healing, and we come to you for that today. We lift up all those who need your protection and guidance at this time, Lord. Touch those who need your healing with your wounded hands and heal them, Lord. Comfort those who are in distress and strengthen those who are weak. We especially pray for those people that we have listed up here today. We pray for their continued healing. We thank you for the continued recovery that Martha and Jack are doing. Be with them and completely pray for peace in their hearts and in their families. We pray for all those who are struggling with this COVID. We especially pray for the Michelle family and the area that is affected by the pandemic in Mississippi. We pray for your grace in that, the people in that area, Lord. Bless them, Lord, with healing and bring an end to this pandemic. We pray for those people in Texas who are affected by the weather and the problems related to that. Bless them with your grace at this time. Above all, we pray for those who are working there to restore everything. Give them the guidance and the wisdom that they need to do the right things, and keep them safe. We pray for the Blankenship family as they're grieving at the death of Larry. Bless them with your peace and comfort them with your presence, Lord. We thank you for the good news about Gene's recovery. As he is recovering back, Lord, we pray that you strengthen his body and his spirit. We pray for our country as a whole at this time. Guide us, Lord. Guide the leaders of our nation, the governors of the state, and all the people who are making decisions that affect our daily lives. Pray that you will give them the wisdom to make the right decisions, and your Holy Spirit will guide and guard them. We also pray for all those frontline workers, the firefighters, the police, the military, and our service delivery people, all those people who are working behind the scenes to support us and serve us, Lord, during this pandemic. We thank you for their services and lift them up to you, Lord, to keep them safe. And also bless them, Lord, with the talents and the wisdom that they need to do their work. Be with us as a church, Lord, as we look for guidance from you for the coming year. Bless us, Lord, to do your work in this community and around the world faithfully in the ways that you give us opportunities to do. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in the calling that you have given us, so that we will be used for your glory and for the blessing of this community and the world. Bless us together today as we gather to worship, that your name be lifted up. We pray that you bless us with your word today and comfort us with your presence and glorify your name in our midst. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As the choir will be singing the offertory song, I am so glad Jesus lifted me, please, the ushers may come forward and take up the offering. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Loving God, You are the source of all that we have and we are. We come before You as Your children and offer a portion of what You have given us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in our giving of our prayers, our presence and our witness and our donations. Above all, we offer ourselves at this time. May we find joy in freely giving all of these things, that Your name will be glorified and the world will be blessed. We ask You to accept this offering, Your people, and thank You for all those who were able to give joyfully, and pray for those who could not give today. We remember all of them in Your love, O God. Bless and help us to use this offering to share Your love to this world. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please remain standing for the responsive reading. I'm sorry, for the scripture reading, taken from the Gospel according to John chapter 4, verses 4 through 14.
Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town called near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about. A Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you life." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God and living Word, we come before you to meditate on your Word. Lord, we pray that you bless us with the power of your Word, that we will be strengthened in our bodies and in our spirits. As we come before your Word, Lord, we pray that you will give us a humble spirit and an obedient spirit so that we can follow the commandments that you tell us to do in our lives during this Lent season. Help us, Lord, to reflect on our lives and to reject those things and to renounce those things that we need to reject and take on the things of righteousness, so that we will be completely transformed into your image. Bless us, Lord, as we come before the Word with an obedient spirit. Humble us, Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Jesus continued his ministry, saw some of the encounters that Jesus had with people. Last Sunday we talked about Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a teacher of the law, had an interaction with Jesus at night, a discourse that led to opening up the heart of Nicodemus, who had several questions about being born again. And Jesus told him, unless you are born again, you would not see the kingdom of God. And then finally he told the great verse that we all love, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So that's one encounter that we saw in chapter 3 of John's Gospel. And when we come to chapter 4, there's an encounter here with a woman at the well. Many of you know this story, the Samaritan woman who came to collect water. And Jesus and his disciples were traveling northward, and they came to this Samaritan city called Sychar. It was a hot day and the sun was beating really hard, and it says that it was in the sixth hour, probably around noontime, our time, and Jesus and disciples were really tired because of the heat, and we see that the disciples went to the market to get some food. So they were really tired and Jesus was taking a break near a that was a Jacob's well, that they have historic importance in the Jewish tradition for that well. They used that well to collect water and also to remember and commemorate the memories of their tradition and the father Jacob and Joseph. So during this time, Jesus was in Samaria, which is a place that Jews do not go there. And we read that Jews do not have any association with the Samaritans. They're considered to be a group of people who are interracial, a mixed up group of people who got interrelation marriage with other people. They were Jewish people one time, but got into a mixed race. So they were considered as a different group of people that they don't interact with. Jews won't interact with. But Jesus chose, against the tradition of that day, to go through that land. Instead of going around that land, most Jews do that because of the racial discrimination that they had there. Jesus decided to go through Samaria, and he was at the well while the disciples were out there in the market for getting food. Jesus was tired, and that's when this lady, young lady, came to draw water from the well. As you know, that since he was tired, naturally he was thirsty, and he asked her for a drink. Jesus is human as well as Jesus was divine and human at the same time. He knows what hunger is all about. So that is what one thing that we learn from here is that he was truly human and he was truly God. And we remember also that he said on the cross that I thirst, and they gave him drink on the cross. We read that at the crucifixion time. So the humanity of Jesus tells us that he is God himself. At the same time, he took on humanity to feel and experience the thirst and the hunger and the pain that we all go through. And our thirst and our hunger are felt by God, our Creator. Every day when we go through our thirst and our hunger, remember there is a God who takes part in our thirst and in our hunger. In our pain and in our suffering, there is a God who feels the pain and the suffering that we go through. Jesus has felt thirst and hunger. He has felt the suffering and the pain that you and I go through. So we have a God who knows what pain and suffering we are going through every day. And we can approach him without any hindrances because he knows what we are going through and he's there to help us. And this woman who came there to draw water was of Samaritan race. And when she came here and saw that a Jewish man was sitting there, he could probably identify that as a Jewish man because of his dress or his clothes. And she probably thought it was safe because usually Jews don't get to talk to them, to Samaritans. So she came at noon to draw water from the well. And we read that the Samaritans were despised by the Jews. And so she has two things going against her. One is she's a Samaritan, and also she is a woman. At those times, the Jewish priests and teachers would not talk to women either. So she had two negative things going her. She was a Samaritan and a woman. Overall, she probably thought it was safe to be there, even though Jesus was sitting there. She came and to draw the water. Today we have many things that separate us from each other, to talking to each other. And we feel safe because we have a group that we can identify with. Even though Samaritans were considered themselves to be separate from Jews, they both were segregated and felt safe among themselves. But interaction becomes a difficult process. We have that today in our society as well. Even though, I mean, it comes in many different forms. It's not just race or color, it's all different kinds of forms. I mean, even in our own communities, don't we have north and the south, west and the east? I mean, even in our little community where we are in Atlanta, we say North Atlanta and South Atlanta, West Atlanta, East Atlanta, and try to group ourselves in separate corners and say that we feel safe and comfortable here. But that's not what God intended us to be. We wanted to be one group of people, that God wants to unite us together. And that's why I think this meeting between Jesus and the Samaritan woman was providential. It was not accidental. Probably Jesus made this decision to go through that place was to see this woman. And he knew that there was going to be some things happening during this time. And that is what Jesus wanted to bring out through this conversation, this interaction that he had with the encounter that he had with this woman, the Samaritan woman. And when she came there, she, against her all imaginations, against all her expectations, this Jewish man who was sitting there, who was not supposed to talk to her, asked her for a drink. And she could not believe that. Even for a basic need, Jews would not even do that. But Jesus, against all the traditions, and she could not believe that he was asking her for a drink. And then, instead of trying to help him with a drink, she was asking him a question. That really surprised me. If somebody asked you for a drink, would you tell them, "And you are a Jewish person, you're asking me for a drink?" Well, we may not do that literally that way, but we all do that in our actions sometimes. When there are needs around us, we take a blind eye towards things and walk away from them. It's not my problem. It's not that I want to get involved. So instead of addressing a problem, we try to find questions to reason ourselves to get out of it. We do that. I do that. I don't know about you. But we try to come up with reasonings to say, how can I get out of this, rather than how can I be helpful. And Jesus is teaching all of these things through this, and in this discourse that they have between each other, teaching us a lot of these lessons. And then she's asking this question, how can you ask me for a drink while you are a Jewish person? Is there a difference between a Jewish person thirsting and a Samaritan person thirsting? Thirst is thirst, isn't it? A hunger is hunger. But she's asking you, how can you, Jewish, be asking me for a drink? Water is water. So Jesus is bringing this big lesson to her and to the world, saying that regardless of who you are, your thirst is real. And your thirst and hunger are real, and it can be addressed only by God, by coming to Jesus. And that's what he continues to talk to her. And then Jesus tells her something that she could not comprehend. He says, if you knew who I was, or who was talking to you, and you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Wow. What is living water? If there is a living water, is there a dead water? So she started arguing. She still did not give him a drink, remember? She's still continuing to talk. And that's why I like this woman, because she didn't give him a drink. Because this woman has a wild past. And that's why one of the authors who wrote a book about this woman, I love that book called Wild Wonderful Woman, www. She had a wild past. Even though Jesus was tired and thirsty, he was there to give the living water to the souls that are thirsting for that living water. That was his primary goal in life, his ministry in this world. So he continued to talk to her, and she said, what is the living water? She asked him, what is the living water? How can you draw that water with no rope or bucket? You don't have anything to draw with. And Jesus told her, anyone who drinks from this water will thirst again, that you are drawing from. But the ones who drink from the water that I give will never thirst, and will bring forth springs of life to life eternal. Wow, that is something she could not even comprehend or understand. She could not understand anything. So she started asking again to drink. And then Jesus hit her on the nail and said, go call your husband. Wow, where did that come from? Jesus did not turn his attention to water, or she did not give him anything to drink. Still at that point, Jesus asked her to go call your husband. Then she knew something was rattling up and shaking up. And she said, I don't have a husband. Jesus knew all of this. And then Jesus said, well, you had five husbands, and the one who you are living with is not your husband. Then she knew what a bad decision she made to talk to somebody like that. She should not have talked to him like that, right? But she was a very shrewd and very, very smart woman. And she was capable of certain things. Nobody usually would come to collect water in the noonday at that time, because it was too hot. And according to the tradition that we read in other books, that usually women find coming to this well to collect water in the evening time when the sun is down. And also they use this time as an opportunity to socialize. So the women in the community used to love these times to come and talk to each other and do socializing as well as collecting water. A writer says that only mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the noonday sun. It is too hot to go out there. But this woman is out and about there working hard. For some reason she came to collect water. Some writers say that she chose that time to come there because of her past, other people might know her and make judgments on her. So she probably didn't want to be associated with other people. So she chose the time when there are no people around to come. Or there might have been an emergency in her home, or something happened in her home, or her children wanted water, or something that made her to come to that well during the noontime with very hot sun blazing heat during that day. So this is the situation when she came. So that tells me that she was not only a smart woman, but also she was a hard-working woman. She didn't mind the heat of the day. But she wanted to make sure that the need is met in her home. And she was there working hard to take that water or draw that water from that well. She may not consider herself to be of any good reputation because her name is not even listed there, just a woman. Whatever the reason, she was a woman on the move. But all the more I want to believe that it was a providential arrangement from heaven to meet with a man she needed to talk to. And we can conclude safely the grace of God at work in this. And many times I have told you about prevenient grace that John Wesley used to preach a lot on. Prevenient grace, the grace that goes before you, even when you don't know about God. There's a grace that follows you everywhere you go, that brings you back. That is called prevenient grace. So the woman approached the well and she started talking to her, and then Jesus told her about the living water, and Jesus told her that if you had asked me, I would have given you living water. And dead water is something that Jesus wanted to bring to her attention about her life. There is a lot of things that she is living every day as drinking the dead water, that she needs to come to Jesus for the living water. Dead water is that water that gives yourself more thirst as you drink it. The ones that you get from this world. The dry TV shows and the game shows and all those things that you are drinking every day that make you thirst more. But living water is what God gives you that will quench your thirst, thirst of your soul forever. And also she said that you don't have anything to draw with. And Jesus is teaching a lesson her that to get the living water. The salvation of God is free, and because of God's grace, it's available to everyone. You don't have to have a rope or a bucket. A lot of times we misunderstand ourselves and people try various different rituals and things to achieve salvation. But salvation of God is free and it's a gift of God. It is by the grace of God. All you need is to ask for it. There is nothing that you have to do or observe to get salvation. When Jesus asked her to bring her husband, she says that she doesn't have a husband, and later on Jesus told her her life situation, and she was startled and amazed by how Jesus knew her life situation. So what shall we make of this story? Was she a woman who consistently made the same mistake by marrying one after the other and five times and still did not work out, and now she has a sixth man living? Is she repeating her mistakes over and over? But to me, she was more than that. She didn't stop there. Immediately when Jesus told her about her past and her life, she immediately ran to the city to tell other people about Jesus. That tells me that she was a woman who is a good person to be a member of our church. I like to see that kind of people in our church. Sometimes we define or we let some major event, a bad event, define our life. We should not allow the past to define our present. Some of the past failures may not be something that you want to keep on remembering, but forget that and move on. Forgetting the past and move on to the future. A person who is going through difficult situation may find themselves that with labels like, you know, once a person after divorce, he said in a meeting that after the divorce that happened, he feels like he has a big D written on his name. But that was very hard on him. But eventually his pastor had counseled him to get over it and move on with that kind of, you know, guilt and things that in the past that happened. It should not define what you are here today. And it should not definitely define what you are going to be next. Because Jesus is looking at, God is looking at us, who you can be and not who you were before. God can use each and every one of us with a better future, with a better plan that he have in our life. I would argue that this woman is more of a seeker of truth than anything else. And she knew the scriptures very well, and she knew about worship. He started talking to Jesus about how Samaritans worship and how Jews worship. And he knew a lot. She knew a lot of things. But above all, what she knew on that day was, there is one who is here, who knows my heart and my life, and who knows my need. And she ran to the city to tell everybody to come to Jesus and say, come see this man. And he may be the Messiah. That's what he announced to the people in that city. So like I said, if I were to ask what kind of people I would like to see in our church, I would like to see people like this woman. With the help of God, we can build our church with people like this to a thriving church. I don't know her name, but I know everything else about her. I can only tell you that she was a very wonderful woman. I want her to be part of our committees. Maybe our mission committee, our outreach committee, because that's the kind of poor people who would go and tell others to bring Jesus to, bring people to Jesus. And because of her, we see that many people in Samaria believed in Jesus because of her. And also we see that Jesus stayed there 2 more days. No other conversation, no other encounter, discourse or conversation is so long as this one in the Bible that we see with Jesus or anybody else. This is the longest conversation that Jesus had with one person in the whole Bible that we can see. There might have been others, but it's not recorded. But Jesus also stayed there 2 more days. It tells me that because of her work, who actually opened her life to Jesus and left everything in the past and moved on with her life to a new one, became the first apostle to that area, in the Samaritan area. And later on, when we read about the church building in Acts of the Apostles, where they started preaching in Jerusalem and nearby areas in Samaria, we read that some of the apostles went to Samaria. They already saw some of the works there. Probably, I am thinking that it is because of the work of this woman, the witness of this woman. I don't know. There is no record of it. But definitely, there was an impact of this woman's testimony that many, many people believed in Jesus during that time. Clearly, much of the success is traceable probably in that area is probably because of this interaction that Jesus had with this woman. Whatever it be, no matter what our past is, God is looking at your future, what you can be in the hands of God, if you come and open your hearts to and your lives to God. I read about a story about Peter Dennett in the Gideon News, that he was a drug addict and an alcoholic, born in a very broken family. His father was an alcoholic, his mother was an alcoholic. And in his early 20s, he was locked up in prison in England because he shot multiple people and he was in jail. While he was in jail, he didn't know anything about God or anything about church or fellowship or anything like that. His mother, who was an alcoholic, and his father died, and his mother went to a church and listened to a sermon and converted and gave her life to Christ and changed her ways. And when she came back home, she was a different person, and she left the alcohol and all that and cleaned up her life and started praying for her son in prison. Not only that, she started taking Bibles and literature and other reading materials to Peter, who was in jail. And he did not want to read them. He was filled with anger and bitterness about the society itself. And so he was in jail. He was not any remorseful for anything. So he stacked up all of those literatures and the things that his mom brought him to jail in a corner of his cell. And one day he got a new cellmate. And that cellmate, when he came in, Peter told him, "Dear friend, I'm glad that you're here, but I have a stack of things for you. You can read those and you can be changed if you want." Look at that. A prisoner who lost hope by himself is telling another person to read and be changed. This is all God's grace and prevenient grace that works through different means. That's what it tells us, the story of Peter. And the mom continued to come and visit him and give him literature even though he didn't read it. But this cellmate started reading this. And he took more and more interest in it. And he finished all of that in the several weeks that he was there. He finished all of that material. And he started changing, his life started changing. And he started talking to Peter about Jesus because he read this material. Look at how things work together. How things work together. And then Peter, one day, being in conversation with this cellmate, and realized that how his life was so messed up, and he needed to clean up. And they together started praying in the cell. And finally, Peter gave his life to Jesus in that cell. And one night, they were filled with so much joy that they started singing the Charles Wesley's hymn, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain." I don't know if you know that song, but we need to learn that one day and sing it. "And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in the Savior's Blood." They sing it so loudly so the whole prison would hear that song. These two young men were singing. And it says like this, one of the stanzas, "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I woke, set forth, and followed thee." That was the great witness that they did in that prison. Peter Dennett had a new life. And then it did not stop there. He described the change at this moment that I can tell you that I have never hit anybody from that day onwards. He looked at his past. There were 18 people who were either paralyzed or in wheelchairs and many different deformities and disabilities because of his action. But he did not let those define his present and his future anymore. And he left that out in the past because God has already forgiven him. And God wanted to give him a new future. And he gave his life to Jesus and he went to mission work. And he finally died as a pastor serving one of the churches in England for 20 some years. What a great change that God brings to people's lives. If we come open to him, Jesus is there with the living water to fill you. Not only fill you, but it will become a source of living water to others in your world. We are going to be the source of blessing to this world if we commit our lives into Jesus. May God bless us these words as we go from this place during this Lent time. Reflect on our lives and come to God and meditate on the word every day and surrender our lives these days. In Jesus' name, the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The closing hymn is hymn number 369 in the Blue Book. "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." It's also on the screen. If you are able, please stand.
"Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. His spirit washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior myself. Angels descending, bring from above, your cross of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior, Father they know. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior, Father they know. Perfect submission, all is their best. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
People of God, go in the knowledge that Jesus is there to give you, fill you with the living water that will fill to overflowing, that will become a blessing not only in your life, but also a source of blessing to this world. Go in the knowledge that God is there always in our lives waiting for you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.